SEN Drive.
Great to have your company too. Hope you are well wherever you might be listening and you had a good week and you've got a solid weekend planned. Perhaps indoor plans, given the forecast looks absolutely horrendous.
All weekend.
For the majority. I think wet. The rain is the rains are coming, as they say.
Too late to move it to Marvel?
Yeah, too late. Yeah.
Why?
The rains are coming, might be coming, but the injuries have been coming too, Coons. And it was the fear going into the season. Obviously, the limited preparation, the lockdown period, training in pairs. Everyone from former coaches to players to former players predicted that perhaps we might have a spate of soft tissue injuries. We've certainly had a few. Dan Hannabury, the latest victim last night, albeit we know he had a horrible run with the similar issues last year. Well, this man is a specialist in this field. He's the sports and exercise medicine physician. He's been in the game a long, long time. Dr. Peter Bruckner, thanks for joining us, Pete.
Pleasure, Sam. Adam.
Great to have your insights this afternoon. Has it played out as many people feared, do you think? And do we, and should we hold our breath every time our teams run out, do you think, as we play catch-up after the lockdown period?
Yeah, look, it's not surprising. I think a lot of people, as you say, predicted that there would be a spate of soft tissue injuries. Interestingly, we sort of got through the first weekend quite well. Everyone thought, oh, maybe that we were worried for nothing. But since then, there's been a pretty regular stream of injuries, primarily hamstring injuries. There's probably about 14 or 15, I think, players out with hamstring, as you mentioned, the latest one, Dan Hennepin, last night. And there's a few calf muscle injuries and a couple of quad injuries. So, look, that's probably not surprising. We get that anyway in an AFL season, as we know. But in light of the compromised preparation, I guess, it's probably not surprising. I think as time goes on, I mean, as the players become better conditioned to match play, because that's really the key. I mean, you can do all the sort of running and everything you can, but there's nothing quite like you know, the intensity of a match, and that tends to be when the time when hamstrings and soft tissues go. So I think the more games you play, the better that the players are going to be conditioned.
So, Doc, some of those other names, obviously, in the last couple of weeks, Nat Fyfe, Dane Zorko, Phil Davis, Xavier Dersma, Jack Zeeble last weekend, Zach Jones as well. Your industry, there's so much research behind it, so much science behind it, but there's no roadmap for something like this, is there? I mean, there's no precedent. So are clubs, do you feel, from the outside looking in, almost learning on the run with a lot of the stuff?
I think to a certain extent. I mean, I think the clubs did a pretty good job at keeping their players well-conditioned. They certainly put a lot of time and effort into it and, you know, setting up little gyms at their homes and giving them pretty strict sort of exercise protocols and training regimes to go through. Obviously, not all the players adhere to them as conscientiously as others would, but, you know, I think that they did a pretty good job of it. It's just that intensity that you can't reproduce if you're not playing and probably not training in a group. So that makes it very difficult. But look, you know, you're right. I mean, we know a lot more about these muscle injuries than we did a few years ago, and yet we're still not on top of being able to prevent them. And that's, I guess, you know, what we're all hoping for in sports medicine is to find the magic answer to preventing hamstrings in particular. It's a problem in all sports. Every sport, every running sport is looking into it. As I said, we know more about it, but we're not really reducing the numbers. So I think probably the intensity, as our knowledge increases, the intensity of the game sort of increases in parallel. So probably the numbers stay about the same, but we've got to get better at it.
So are the warning signs for you loud and clear if we had to condense a number of games into a shorter period of time? Could you see a real explosion in soft tissue injuries if that was the case?
Look, I think you'd see an increase. I'm not sure about an explosion. But obviously the risks are increased if the time between games is reduced from 7-6 down to 5 or even 4 days between games. But bearing in mind you know, other sports, I mean, you just could look at the Premier League, for instance. You know, they play 3-day breaks quite frequently, and certainly 4-day breaks. And even though it's not as sort of as much of a contact sport as Aussie rules, the amount of running and accelerations and decelerations is not that dissimilar. So, and they seem to manage a lot better. So, you know, there's no real reason why we'd have a massive explosion. with the shorter breaks.
So hypothetically, a player could get, in terms of the soft tissue stuff, purely the aerobic running capacity, could get by playing off a three-day break?
Well, yeah, they could. As I said, it's probably because of the contact nature of our game, it probably takes a little bit more time to recover than a soccer player, for instance. But it's feasible. It's not ideal, but we may have to do it the way the season's panning out.
Talking to Dr. Peter Bruckner. Doc, Jeremy Howe, he was on fire at Collingwood, arguably the most informed defender in the comp, and he leaves a gaping hole there. The medial is one thing. Talk us through a PCL injury, because history would show they're far from straightforward. They're complicated in nature, complicated surgery, I believe, too. A number of players, while some have done well, some have really struggled. The PCL and the time frame and the complexity of it, can you talk us through that?
Yeah, they're not as common and as straightforward as the ACL, which is the ones we see more often, and they have a knee reconstruction, and they generally do pretty well. It takes a fair while. They're often 12 months out, but they do well. The PCL, as you said, is more complicated. The surgery is more difficult. It's not quite as simple to reconstruct or repair the posterior cruciate. There's often associated injuries. I understand Jeremy Howe also had a medial ligament, so that just makes it much worse if there's combined injuries. It shouldn't take 12 months to return, but I can't see him getting back this season. I know they're keeping their options open, but it would be pretty unusual to get back in given the 3 or 4 month time frame that he's got. It's usually about a sort of 5 to 6 month return after posterior cruciate surgery. But every injury is different. The severity of every injury, that collateral damage, the damage to the lining of the bone, the cartilage lining the bone, and the other ligament, it's all different. So it's very hard to sort of generalise about specific injuries. But it's certainly a significant injury. It looked horrendous, didn't it? On the footage, you can see his knee go sideways, and he knew straight away that he was in serious difficulty. But fortunately, they're not as common. They used to be a lot more common before we changed the ruck rules. There was a real spate of them a few years back from centre bounces where they'd run at each other and put their knees up, and you'd crash the knee of one ruckman into the sort of shin of the other, pushing the bone back and tearing the posterior cruciate. So it was a huge problem in those days. But the rule changes in the centre bounce really eliminated that among the ruckmen. So we don't see nearly as much of the posterior cruciate injuries as we used to.
Well, that's a good thing, but not great news for Pies fans. It looking likely that we won't see Jeremy Howe back this season. What about ACL injuries? If you get it done their standard way, it's still a sort of 12-month recuperation period before you can play again. In terms of science and medicine and research that's being done in ACLs, how far off are we off seeing a different type of surgery for an ACL?
Look, they've been experimenting with different types of surgery for a long time, with artificial ligaments and all sorts of different things really over the last 30 or 40 years. The surgical techniques have certainly improved, but the return to play hasn't made a big difference. We tend to be more conservative in Australian rules football than they are overseas. So if you're a Premier League player or an NFL player in the States, and you tear your cruciate and have a knee reconstruction, you're probably going to play again at 6 months. Yeah. We tend to be more conservative, whether that's the nature of our game or the nature of our surgeons, I'm not sure. But we always tend to sort of go with the 12 months, and that's probably takes the conservative approach. We're focusing a lot on prevention now, it's been shown now that there are certain programs. And obviously it's a huge problem in women's football too, so the women have been big on these prevention programs as well. Prevention programs that focus on landing techniques, on tackling techniques and so on to really try and prevent the injuries, which is obviously better than having to try and fix them.
And Doc, if I can ask a personal question, with COVID and everything going on at the moment, no community sport, how have you found it? There's no one coming in with an ACL, or no soft tissue, no Achilles going bang. How have you found it?
It's all those people with sore backs sitting right at the kitchen table trying to work and doing unaccustomed exercise because they don't normally exercise and they're desperate to get out of the house and they're going to do something. So we'll be seeing people. But, the whole of the community sport, all jokes aside, I mean, it's bad for our business, but it's really unfortunate for the community because I think it plays a really important role in there's enough social isolation in our community as it is without missing out on sport. So it's a real pity that we can't be playing community sport, and the sooner we can get back to that, the better.
Just a personal one from me. Sammy's had his. I might have mine. Where are we at in terms of cartilage repair? Because my knee's hurting at the moment, and I'd just like the cartilage back, if that's okay.
Still a way off, I'm afraid.
Damn.
They've been looking at artificial sort of cartilage, artificial meniscus, as they call it. And then there's also the cartilage lining, the joint that they've been trying to sort of regrow. That's the sort of the real thing in orthopedic surgery. If someone can successfully regrow the cartilage that lines joints, the articular cartilage, they'll make a splendid.
Oh, but yes,
that's what we're all trying to. That's what we're all trying for, because that's the thing that leads to arthritis and really causes the problems. But
you made his day, Pete.
I can't give you a lot of joy. We're still a bit of a way off that.
Oh, you've set him off on a great weekend.
Hurry up,
Dr. Peter Brook. Fantastic to have you on the program. Specialist sports and exercise medicine physician, of course. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Pleasure, guys.
Dr.